17th chapter, Ideal Family Life. So yesterday we went through, that was first day, and yesterday we went through the theoretical part. So we are dealing with theoretical part today, and then today I plan that we can have more interactive and question answer session, but I'll go through some theoretical part, practical part today, and then we'll open the floor for discussion. So here we see that we are still dealing with difference of opinion in serving Krishna in family life, husband and wife and whatnot. So His Holiness Sri Radhanath Swami Maharaj, He has laid down priorities for devotees in grihastha life to to practice Krishna consciousness. So first is sadhana, and that is chanting good 16 rounds early part of the day and morning, evening, or at least in the evening, whole family have together practicing four things, that is kirtan, aarti, offering prasad, reading from scriptures such as Bhagavatam and Gita, and kirtan again, and that's a good family. You get together, family prays together, stays together. So that is sadhana. And then livelihood. Second priority is that we must earn our livelihood. And we went through how much, where to draw line, what to earn, how to earn, etc. In other words, Prabhupada says, earn as much as it needed, not over, not under. So one has to draw his line. Rup Sanatan Goswami, they draw their line to zero or even minus. But grihastha ashram, we need some. So, also, it is not advised to save money, but it won't hurt to save little. Prabhupada says that it is not how much you earn, it is how much you save. So, enough. Not over, not under. And we have to draw our own line, simple as possible. So that is livelihood. Honest 8 hours work. Prabhupada says that's it, not beyond. And maybe 5 to 6 days, but not beyond 8 hours. And whatever there is in our fortune, we will get that. Taking care of family. So that means whole science again. Taking care of family means husband takes care of wife and children, wife takes care of house and children, and husband cooking, cleaning, etc. Sorry, I may have made it other way around. Thank you for correcting me. And then preaching. This is always my compliment. Wherever I lack or I make a mistake, she's right there. That's a boon in family life. That's how I'm not sannyasi yet. Because a Krishna conscious, totally Krishna conscious wife, Sati, I describe her, Sati, almost. So, that's a good company and companion, and behind every successful man, there is a woman behind it, says the one. I didn't mean to glorify her, but she has been such a great devotee and wife and every respect. Okay, so preaching. Then comes preaching. If you have good sadhana, good livelihood, and taking care of, that means automatically taking care of family, then we go out and preach. That's the idea. Grahastha means preaching. Grahastha does not mean maintain and luxury and more and more. Minimize, draw a minimal line. Draw a line very low, not high. Very low. And Prabhupada says if you have more, it comes to you more fortune, more money, then live simple and rest of the money, further that to further yourself in Krishna consciousness and furthering the Hare Krishna movement. So you can give it to temple and gurus and so on for preaching. So preaching. Every grihastha must preach. Otherwise, what is the use of grihastha life? No use. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. In my example, yes, I have been doing this when I was working. My secretary would come from the temple with BMW, and right from office, change dhoti kurta, and up to 10 o'clock night. Of course, I was taking prasad at downtown restaurant, Hare Krishna restaurant, and then we would go out and preach. So that was 7 days a week. So like that, we have to get into preaching. Each one, preach one. More devotees, happy devotees. So these are the slogans. So let's go to the next one. So difference of opinion in serving Krishna. Do not take your differences too seriously. Take it easy on them. It is not worth it. Difference of opinion is bound to be there. Difference of opinion is always there. But it is how you deal with it that is important. Men are like apple and women are like peaches. Peaches are more beautiful than apples, or I don't know. Good peach color. Men are like bitter melon and women are like sweet melon, or vice versa. Let's hear this little. I don't know, Maharaj. You know better. What happened to my son?
Final instructions. Right? I'll be pleased in the way in which you cooperate.
Okay, I'll go a little backwards.
So that somebody wants to do cooking for the deities. You know, and somebody is more interested in life.
So this is...
Right? This is better. I mean, in Srila Prabhupada. This was one of Srila Prabhupada's final instructions. Right? This is better. I mean, in Srila Prabhupada has told us that in the eyes of Krishna, all services are the same. You know, whether we are a pujari in the temple or whether we are a person cleaning the toilet in the temple, you know, it's the service is the same as far as Krishna is concerned, because service is absolute. So do not take your differences too seriously, it is not worth it. Difference of opinion is bound to be there, accept it. We have to understand that, you know, the same thing, men are like apples and women are like peaches. Men are like bitter melon and women are like sweet melon, or vice versa. Depends on how you look at it. So the Prabhupada speaks about cooperation, and it also very much applies to a husband-wife relationship. Right? Cooperation is not just among devotees. Yeah, Prabhupada said that I will be pleased in the way in which you cooperate with each other. This was one of Srila Prabhupada's final instructions. Right? I will be pleased in the way in which you cooperate with each other. So that doesn't mean only devotees. It also means husband and wife. Right? Both the partners have a desire to serve, so appreciate, cooperate, because in spiritual mathematics, 1 plus 1 is equal to 11. Okay, if no understanding, the result may be not very good. So the wife is asking for a hair dryer, she's, you know, and the husband gives a gun to her. Okay, this is very important. Difference of opinion in raising children. Right? Children are like sponges. You know, they just absorb whatever they are seeing, whatever they are hearing. Right? Child welfare is a joint responsibility, and one view should prevail and the child should pursue as a joint decision. Right? Children are very intelligent. In fact, they are more intelligent than parents. So, you know, when they see that the husband and wife, the father and mother are having two different opinions, you know, they will go to that parent who gives them a favorable opinion as far as they are concerned. Right? Husband and wife should mutually understand and help each other in their different services to the child. Right? Example, father to take care of child when mother is chanting her rounds. Some do's. Appreciate your partner's intent and motivation. If some mistake done, apologize in front of the children. So this is very important. Again, the children are seeing, you know, how the husband and wife are behaving. So if the husband has done something wrong or the wife has done something wrong, apologize in front of the child. It doesn't bring down your false ego. Yeah? it doesn't get affected because you're doing it in, all within the family, but it makes a big impression on the child's psyche. Let go approach, give benefit of doubt to the spouse. Yeah? Some don'ts. Never let the child play one against the other. Never argue, fight in front of the child. The child has a natural instinct for admiring parent and regards parents as role models. I mean, for them, the first role models are the parents. Right? Then they look at other role models. Never criticize other devotees in front of the child. Right? In front of the children. First of all, never criticize devotees. Right? Vaishnava Prad, we all know, is so dangerous. Right? Particularly in front of the children. Right? Never ever criticize. So if you follow the rule of never criticize devotees, then automatically, you know, it will be done also in front of children. Do not reduce the authority of father or mother in front of the child. Do not try to prove your point or prove the other wrong in front of the child. Whatever you have to settle, it has to be done, not in the presence of the child. If difference of opinion, discuss in the child's absence. Right? Okay. Beware of what detrimental effect a couple's differences can have on the child. Right? So we see the children over here. Chanakya Pandit says, Putra Veena Griha Shuni. Right? Without children, Grihastha Ashram is meaningless. So Grihastha Ashram means expansion. It is normal and natural to have a child. Right? So give a thought. What is the reason for not having a child? Is it laziness? Is it too much hard work? Is it loss of independence? Or is it too much responsibility? Right? If you are not having a child for any of these reasons, then actually you are not in Grihastha Ashram, according to Chanakya Pandit. So this is just an understanding of what is fanaticism. By description, the fanatic displays very strict standards and little tolerance for contrary ideas or opinions. So, you know, a fanatic normally thinks that whatever he is doing is the best and just doesn't pay any attention to what the other partner is saying. Some examples of rigid behavior amongst devotees. Husband telling his wife to cut off relations with mother-in-law. Guess why? Yeah? Because she watches TV. You know? So the husband telling his wife that don't have any relation with your mother because, you know, she watches TV because they're karmi, so whatever. The husband does not approve the wife wearing gold ornaments and dress opulently. He keeps quoting Kanchan Kamini syndrome, brahmachari mindset, you know. And again, can create so much of... Wife runs to the temple neglecting her household duties. This fanaticism. Husband depriving wife of the basic needs on the pretext of simple living and high thinking. Without rising to the platform of renunciation, he keeps quoting. You know, if she asks for, you know, avocados, he says, no, simple living and high thinking, no avocados, you know, grapes or whatever. So this is fanaticism, you know. Okay, possible. I mean, this is just possible solutions. Exhibit flexibility for protecting the higher principle. Relationship is most important. No point winning the battle and losing the war. Srila Prabhupada would say, accommodate without compromising Krishna conscious philosophy principles. Simplicity is a virtue which we want to encourage. Clothes, jewelry, etc. should not have a predominant importance in the relationship. Right? So, I mean, ultimately, Prabhupada said, simple living and high thinking. All of us have to aspire for that. So, certain things in life, we have to, you know, consciously together give up. You know, like having a flashy Ferrari, for example. It's nice to have a car, but, you know, whether we need a Ferrari is a question. You know? So, we come to the end. You must be happy, yeah, that you come to the end.
So, now, any question up till now? Any question? Yes, Maharaj.
I know the person who's speaking, and he has a very good Grihastha Ashram.
Yes. Can you tell us more about him, Maharaj? He's doctor or lawyer or what? I think he's... Huh? Pardon?
His son.
Oh, his son is doctor. Okay.
It's Krishna Nam from Chaupati and his wife is Amrita Nam. And he has a lot of responsibility both in the temple and within the family, and also he's also very active in Mayapur. He's an advisor there to the accountant program in Mayapur. Travels regularly to Mayapur. Works very hard, but still maintains very, what we say, sound grihastha relationships. He goes on yatras, preaches. In other words, he does everything that, what we say, almost a full-time devotee does, but and still maintains nice family relationships. He has two children. One is, I think, living in America, in Seattle. And he's a good friend of mine. So I always go and see him and we talk. So I think we can take his, there, that's his picture. I think we can take his advice seriously. Because he's a success in what he's talking about. He's not just speaking theory. Okay. Hare Krishna.
As I said, this seminar is available on YouTube. And it is put up or compiled by many, many devotees. There is a group of devotees I earlier mentioned on the first day that many... 5-6 of competent doctors and highly placed grihasthas in Chaupati temple, they compile this seminar, so it is available on YouTube, and if you want copy, I will give you on your pen drive. Now, I am going to go into some of the other seminar that is also on YouTube. I said first time. His Holiness Rasanand Maharaj, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. So I will go through that a little, not much, because this is like a workshop, so he gives very little. He gave theoretical lecture on first day, His Holiness Rasanand Rasamrita Swami. So, there are works of two.
What we actually want to do is...
okay, let's play this and then some little...
Make the debate a bit more fun and interactive. So where Mataji's are just talking amongst themselves, what you'll find is that the issues will be common. So it's good if the Prabhus and Mataji can do a half-half. So if five Matajis can... No? We're comfortable this way? Fine. Sorry, Prabhu, you have a vote in. Okay. So I'll give you a flip chat and Mataji is giving an answer. Please, can I just, one suggestion, please don't sit here because you'll find it difficult to talk. Go downstairs.
I think some way is better, and the answer is on the other way. So this is a big conflict, we think. The third one we got is the division of household chores.
In the weekends, they are too busy. And
so they are writing down all the points of what is a problem in grihastha life, how they face different problems. So that is what this is. I'll have some 2-3 people talk about it.
Hey, thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was just chosen to come over here, but these are all points by a group, pretty younger group, so they are not my points. I just... And they are really very intelligent people over there, and they have very nice points, but we have to just pick up 6 of them. So the first one, they were concerned about lack of family time, that there was no quality time spent, lack of communication, because children are coming different times, husband, wives are working, coming, and there is lack of communication. So nobody knows what they are doing. And that was the main issue of the group. The second point was the generation gap, the difference in culture belief, difference in environment, child and parent relationship. They are going to different schools and different places. They are meeting lots of people over there. So that was, they call it generation gap. So that's the number two point. And number three point is, couple follow different spiritual paths. And that affects the children. The husband believes in something else and the wife believes in something else. And the children learn from schools different. So they are very confused and nobody knows where they are from. And the other point was Western influence. And they say stronger than Indian culture and the values. Whatever they learn at school, that's their culture. And they are again confused. They don't know where to go. And the other, the fifth one is, there is disagreement between husband and wife concerning spiritual versus material aspects. The wife says it's important that children have to be Krishna consciousness. But the husband says, where are you taking the children? Don't you want them to become something in their life, studies and all that? So no, don't take them. The poor wife has to go to the temple all by herself and do her service. Sixth one is, that's what extra Maharaj, it's very important. The husband and wife, Grishtas, doing too much service in the temple, have financial difficulties because they are doing too much service. They don't have money to look after their family. So that is the very important point. At one time, they will pray because there is no financial help. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The group came up, each one came up with one point. We tried to put them into these three main problem areas. And I guess most of them have been covered by the previous speakers. One, two, and three are pretty much intertwined: communication, lack of understanding. Our first one is communication or lack of. And covers these, the tone, the body language, the spoken language, the ego, lack of mutual understanding and so on. Second is managing family expectations, and again it's been broken down into a couple of points. Expectations from the spouse, expectations from kids, then expectations from family members who are not Krishna conscious. The third is time management, especially in the Western world where both husband and wife are working. There's no help that's available, so you just have to do everything in that 24 hours that you're there, that you have, and sometimes your health may not permit, or sometimes this also causes a lot of friction in the family. The last one is, when you have kids in Western world, we give them one set of values at home, and when they go to school and interact with their peers there, they have a different set of values, both seem to clash. And the result is unpleasantness. So thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I'll let it go through one more person.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Almost all points are discussed. I don't need to say anything actually. But still our group have come up with these points. And we have thought from the Prabhu's angle as well. Not only from the Mataji's angle. So yes, so our first point was lack of common goals, as husband is on different level of the spiritual practice and wife is on a different level, and they both have different goals. So how to adjust with that and how to go ahead in spiritual life with those things. Another was parenting issues, and third was expectations. As if we think that we are going after the Shastras, then the wife has to look after the kids and the family and cooking, all this stuff, and husband has to go out and earn the money. But if we are doing like that, if we are doing like that here, then Mata just won't be able to go to the work, and how should we adjust the financial status in that case? So that was the main issue as we were thinking about that. So please guide us about that. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I think one of our group members made a good point that when there's a spouse who's only spiritually driven and become materially irresponsible, so it's fanatical, and so we just had to adjust and how to get a better balance. And the second point we had was how to encourage family members in Krishna consciousness without being imposing, especially kids. And another one was one spouse is initiating a different sampradaya and one wants to be an ISKCON, so how to balance two expectations of both gurus. That's it. Thank you,
Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We are choosing some points which are already taken by another group, so I'll just see some of the other points. How important are extracurricular activities for children? And the other one is balancing services and bringing up children. And then, what is the role of a father in bringing up kids spiritually? And the last one is how to create a positive Krishna conscious atmosphere at home when there is some potentially negative, someone's going through something negative, how to keep the atmosphere positive in the family. So, thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, again, most of the points, in fact, all the points have been already mentioned, but I'll just quickly go through them to reiterate. So one was time management again, and time management between at home, for the grihasthas, at office, and spiritual life. So how do we manage everything and follow all the principles that we want to and do our 16 rounds daily on an everyday basis. So that was one of the points. The second is the extension of that, but that is again time management, but more from the financial and career point of view. So we've got someone at home, let's say, who is just starting his career, and he's traveling a lot, so how does he manage that? Or there's someone else who's probably over-endeavoring at a higher level in his career, and he's not able to manage, doing his sadhana and everything else. So how do we manage that? And if they put more time in spirituality than in the career side, again, so same thing, but that was another point we came up with. Third was, which almost everyone has mentioned, different levels of spiritualization, between husband and wife, but not just between husband and wife, but also extended family and friends or non-devotees. So how do people manage that? And extension to that is at the workplace, of course, issues of the career side again. So same thing, but that was another point we came up with. Third was, which almost everyone has mentioned, different levels of spiritualization, between husband and wife, but not just between husband and wife, but also, extended family and friends or non-devotees. So how do people manage that? And extension to that is at workplace, issues of vegetarianism and how do we manage with the non-devotees over there at work. So these are the points which came up.
So, there are many groups coming up with the issues of family life. So you can also go through the homework on YouTube. Very nice seminar. The answer to all these issues is, Maharaj says, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj says that chant Hare Krishna and be happy. There is no solution in the age of Kali Yuga to the problems. So many problems. But only solution is to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. One good news, chant Hare Krishna. I don't have time, otherwise I would have played his little short talk, then he went through another breakdown session, and that was write down few points about joint. What do you think? What comes to your mind when you think about joint family system and modern family system? independent. So then he ran down that big breaking session. So he says, most of the time he comes up with the idea that there is no solution in the age of Kali Yuga for all these problems. The only solution is to practice Krishna consciousness very nicely. And he said, it is up to you, both partners, to work it out, the differences, and live with it, and go on with your Krishna conscious life. So I think let me go back a little, and then I'll go back to this one again. Was I here? Okay. Okay, we can go through these conclusions. Okay, this is good one. So this is, he's talking about the vak baan. Vak means speech, vani. And baan means arrow. It pierces to the heart of other. So let's learn a little bit about this. And this is also a major cause of differences and divorces. Divorce. The main cause. Miscommunication, harsh words, and fighting with vakpan. So let's see this a little. And if we have time, we will go through the question answer.
So hurtful. You know, just by this method of speech, you could hurt the other person's feelings so much that sometimes there is a permanent damage. There could be a permanent damage. So we have to be so careful. Huh? So, just to give you an example, what you see over here is an iceberg. Right? So how much do you see of an iceberg? Only 10%. Right? What we actually see of an iceberg is just 10%, because 90% of the iceberg is under the water. Right? Next slide. So what we see over here, visible sea level and invisible below sea level, 10% and 90%. So the iceberg phenomenon is also applicable to human beings. How? What we see of others is just what they are presenting to us. Knowledge and skills, right? And what is unknown is the attitude. What is the attitude of that person? How does he think is something that is very much unknown. Unless that person reveals his or her heart, most people, you know, will never know what is going on in the psyche of the other person. Next slide. So in other words, what we see over here is the top 10% is the behavior. Right? We make a judgment based upon a person's external behavior, which is actually only 10% of the person's psyche. But 90% what is inside, right, is that person's values, standards, judgment, attitude, motives, ethics, beliefs. So this is unknown to others, right? What is there in my heart is unknown to most people, right? Unless and until I reveal what my heart is. So this has a direct impact on our behavior. So the subtle consciousness has an impact on our gross consciousness. We know this. I mean, this is part of our philosophy. But just to highlight that particular aspect. Next slide, please. So, this is the purpose, or let's say, this is the way in which we are actually controlled. Right? Our whole psyche is controlled by our tongue. Right? That means the tongue is actually the 10% that you are talking, we are seeing, what the person speaks. 90% is actually what goes on in his mind, right? In terms of his attitude and everything. So that is how important it is for us to get control over our tongue. Because unless and until we control that 10%, it will influence how our thought processes are working. It's a very subtle thing, but it is very important for us to know how important communication is towards building relationships. Next slide. So, relationships builds or breaks, and appreciation or criticism is what actually causes a relationship to either build or break. And if criticism is compared to be like the painful piercing of arrows. Srila Prabhupada would say that the words that are uttered by a relative is more painful to tolerate. Right? The harsh words of a relative are more painful to tolerate than millions of arrows that are striking your heart. Right? Next. So non-violent compassion, communication, or compassionate communication. And heart to heart. So here we see that there are two different types of communication. One is passive. You know, we don't communicate. We don't talk to each other. Right? And the second one is active, which is heart to heart. So we always have to think before we talk. Is it necessary? Is it kind? And is it right? Right? Next. So silence is sometimes gift wrap. It's compared to something that is gift wrap but not given. That means you want to say something to your spouse, right? It is like having a gift. You go to the market, you go to the supermarket, you buy a gift, but you don't give it to your spouse. So that is the way silence sometimes acts. And your body language. You know, your body language also sometimes is negative or positive. So heart is like a clay pot. Once broken, scars will always remain. This is an example of a father and a son. You know, once it so happened that a father had entrusted the son with hitting nails on the fence. And the father told the son that you put nails on the wall as and when there is situations where you are angry with me. And from my side, whenever I see that there's a nail on the wall, I will come and help you to remove it out. So in the initial days, when the relationship was not good, the son kept on putting more and more nails on the wall. And every time the father would come and see the nails, and then he would come and ask the son, why is it that you're putting these nails? And gradually over a period of time, the number of nails that were coming on the wall started diminishing. There's just one way by which communication can be established between couples. Then there's this cultural background problem, and unless mind and senses are controlled, it is difficult to control this urge. So we come to the end of this particular session. Are there any questions here? Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. Yes, the previous slide, Amita. You know?
So now they are going through the question answer, and we can also go through that. So any discussion, question, sankha, samadhan, subject? Yes, Maharaj, you will have to answer that also.
One of the points that Prabhupada raises in his books about family life, which is not very much discussed, but I'm just wondering if you've discussed it, is the idea of giving 50% of your income for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. That's one of the duties of household life.
Yes, wonderful point. And that we discuss on theoretical part first day, that Prabhupada is saying that you earn money, keep money as much as it is necessary to run your grihastha life smoothly, and rest of the money, whatever is rest, should be given to Krishna consciousness, movement. So that we discuss in theoretical part, but practically we have to see, we also see in these two seminars that some couple are going out of their ways to minimize that their monetary part of requirement in their family life and gives everything to temple. And then they break down. So it should be like a balance. Rupa Goswami said 50% and Manu Samhita says 10%. If not 50%, at least 10%. And if somebody is widow or something, no more much income, little, then 20%. 5% meaning half of the 10%. So, but grihasthas must give some portion of their income to preach Krishna consciousness, to temple, to sannyasi, to guru, to book, PBT, like that. Temple construction in Mayapur, we have to, next year I'll come up with the book. Looks like this year I missed to pick up the book and they did not push the book also, donation book, the receipt book. But it was there. So like that, we must give it to proper source so that it can be 100% utilized in preaching Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense, Maharaj? You can add.
I think it's a question that would probably have many, many answers, and that, you know, in terms of the practical application of it, it's obvious that most devotees will not be able to get 50% right away. And then there's so many other questions that go on with that. What does 50% even mean? Does it mean 50% of the gross, 50% of the profit? So it could be answered in different ways.
Yes.
But it seems that Srila Rupa Goswami, he retired.
Yes.
And then he gave 50% yes. of his income. But while he was in the family life, still it doesn't look like he was giving 50% at that particular time. But he gave, and Prabhupada took that as a standard for grihasthas, an ideal standard at least. But actually we should give 100%. Because everything we do, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakura says in his song, everything we do should be dedicated to Krishna consciousness. Not 50%, but 100%. Our house should be Krishna conscious. The family should be Krishna conscious. Our job should be, you know, dedicated to Krishna consciousness. And we should be Krishna conscious 100%.
Just a quick statement. I brought this up a few times in different places, and I usually get the same answer generally, that, you know, it's a nice idea, but it's not practical.
So that's a good.
Yeah, and the conclusion is, even discussing it with some senior devotees, we encourage 50%, but we don't, what we say, pressurize or force anybody to come up to that standard. And as you say, people should give, you know, what they can give, you know, at the same time maintain their families. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Manu Samhita is coming up with the practical idea of giving 10%. Christians, they do 10%. Muslims, they do 10%. And Hindus, they do no percent. Hindus. I'm not talking about ISKCON devotees. Hinduism. No person. Of course, in Swaminarayan, many people know Swaminarayan. They give 10% immediately. Before it goes to the bank, 10% goes to the temple. 10%. And that is, if you want blessings of their guru, so if you want blessings of Srila Prabhupada, 10% is very practical. No percent, better 10%. Any other question? Yes, Maya. Any ISKCON. But I would think that it is good to give local because you're taking services from local and that way you will build your relationship with local temple and you will be given support and to the temple that you're taking support from. And that way you will build up relationship with temple leaders and devotees and deity and etc. A better local temple than international. But you can do it internationally also. Is that okay? Any other question? Yes.
Šrila Prabhupada odaje priznanje Grihastama za koje kaže da su mu puno pomogli u prevođenju i deljenju knjiga i uopšte u misiji širenje svestosti Krišne.
Šrila Prabhupada gives appreciation to Grihastas who are helping him in book distribution and any other
teaching. Ti si govorio o razmiricama u duhovnom životu koje uvek postoje jer smo u dobu Kali. Da.
And you were actually speaking more or less about this misunderstanding in Grihastha
Ashram. A na jednom mestu Srila Prabhupada kaže da je duhovno napredovanje u Grihastha Ashramu veoma teško i sporo, ako uopšte i postoji. Kako da shvatimo ovu izjavu?
On the other occasion Srila Prabhupada is speaking about how it's very difficult to advance spiritually in Grihastha Ashram.
Kako da shvatimo ovu izjavu?
Well, initially grihasthas, Prabhupada made them grihastha, most of them. They were not even grihasthas. But he married them and made them grihasthas, and then Prabhupada took great deal of services from them, sending out to London and many places like that. His grihastha devotees help him lot to expand Hare Krishna movement. So he is appreciating them. But I don't know what is your other question that not appreciating grihastha or very difficult to.
That he is speaking about Prabhupada on occasion that advancement in Grihastha Ashram is very difficult.
Well, it is difficult if you want to make it difficult. Otherwise, it is very simple. Grihastha Ashram is the simplest form of and happiest form of being to live a life. It's a very good, blissful asana. Yes, Maharaj.
So Prabhupada said if you don't follow the Purohita principles, then it becomes very difficult.
Yes, here we go. You have to follow Prabhupada in any asana. Follow Prabhupada and you'll be happiest person on the earth planet. Due to your lifestyle. Yes. So Maharaj made it very simple. It's your lifestyle.
Prabhupada wanted communities. He didn't want devotees living outside, working and sending children to karmi schools. When you try to solve that problem and you, within the context of Krishna consciousness, you never get, it's never solved, because you're doing the opposite of what Krishna consciousness is. You're working for karmis and you're... So, I mean, if you have to live like that, you're going to have to do a lot of struggle to make up for what you're working against Krishna consciousness at the same time you're trying to be Krishna consciousness. So that's the struggle. Prabhupada wanted communities. When I was at New Vrindavan, he drew on a piece of paper what a grihastha house should look like. He drew it himself. He said, we called them Prabhupada houses after a while. It was a very simple, you know, structure, how to live for a family, you know, a couple rooms, and then live simply. If you're trying to keep up with the standard of the material society, you're not going to only have troubles. You're not going to succeed. It's difficult. It's impossible. So you have to live simply in terms of your needs and your lifestyle. Otherwise, you're just going to fight. You're going to have no time for Krishna consciousness and no time for the basic needs of the family. So that's the difficulty. I mean, you and your wife just travel, right? So it's easy. Right? And I know many grihasthas who are very simple, and they work together, and they're making a good contribution to Krishna consciousness, and they're somewhat happy.
Yes, Maharaj.
Do you have in your seminar how the grihasthas should prepare for the vanaprastha and sannyas?
No. Ideal grihasthas should live in grihastha ashram. There is no sannyas ashram in Kali Yuga. Kalo pancha varjanam. Aswameva yavalamba paitaparkam putrena sutotpati sannyasa palapaitukam kalo pancha varjana.
Very nice verse.
The
acharyas say that is karma sannyas.
Karma sannyas.
Karma sannyas means you take sannyas, yes, and you don't preach. That's the interpretation or understanding of that principle. In other words, there are people who take sannyas, they just live, you know, by begging. That type of sannyas is rejected. But preaching is the essence of the practice of sannyas ashram.
Yes, so we
that
will
is
allow
authorized,
that.
And that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haribo.
We will allow that. But
seriously, if you're going to be in ISKCON, because ISKCON is a preaching movement, and Prabhupada's instructions, if you take it entirely, the Prabhupada actually expected the senior devotees who eventually, you know, take sannyas and the idea of preaching. So, I mean, not everyone's going to take sannyas, but those who will take sannyas, you know, those whose wives will go and live with their children or be supported in some way, there actually has to be some preparation for it. Unless you start with that, a complete picture of one's life, one may not... I mean, I can understand you're traveling with your wife, it's maybe a different situation. But not everyone's going to be like that. And therefore, unless from the very beginning of grihastha life, there's a goal and a different stages of how to prepare for those different stages, that many of our grihastha men and women, they become frustrated because they haven't made the adequate preparations to be able to preach at the end of their lives.
So it is the individual case. But grihasthas, up to the end of the life, can be more powerful, exemplary preachers. There is no impediment. A grihastha can also do equally good as sannyasi in the age of Kali Yuga. If you see in the scriptures, more grihastha preachers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time also more grihastha preachers than a sannyasi preachers. So it's not an impediment. Like you said, Maharaj, Prahladan Maharaj, it depends upon individual and how things are working out. But there is no impediment in grihasthasam to preach.
That's not what I'm saying. You may take that particular viewpoint, but I'm saying that for those who will take sannyas in the future, they have to make preparations to take care of their, at least their wife, if not their children, if they're not grown up. And they have to have studied the scriptures, they have to make preparations for it.
Yes. It's true.
What Maharaj is saying is that, yeah, what you're doing is ideal, but not everybody's going to come up to that level of practice.
Yes.
So there has to be that, you know, different stages.
But no, I also preparing myself to take sannyas. But
okay, now you're good enough. Now
maybe last day or two, or I don't know what Krishna is arranging for both of us.
Maybe your wife will take sannyas first.
She is sannyasini before I was. She is sannyasini before I think.
Prabhupada did say, he said, my Guru Maharaj created an army of sannyasis and I have created an army of grihasthas.
Yes.
See, he wanted the grihasthas to preach.
Yes.
But he didn't want them to simply maintain. And that's the whole point.
Yes.
That's the whole
point. Very good point. So any other question? Any other question? Yes?
Maybe you could just give some examples how a grihastha can preach. I mean, one is to go to the street.
There are probably many ways a grihastha can preach other than just going on the street and distribute books. Maybe if you could just give some examples.
The greatest preaching for grihastha is to make his grihastha life successful. No divorce, children, they remain Krishna conscious and have enough to support himself and not dependent on society or somebody's giving donations and so many things like that. Nirpeksha. If you want from others, then you cannot be effective preacher. Your attention is how much he's going to give me. And your preaching will be oriented towards this kind of longings. But one must become fixed, like Maharaj said, preparation, or whatever, whoever. One must prepare himself to become great, nice, effective preacher. It's a lifetime preparation. Just like when I joined, I had my goals set up as a preacher. And I worked throughout like that. So, like that, we have to prepare ourselves. What was your question again?
Various forms of preaching for a grihastha.
Yes, various forms of preaching. It's not one, various. In a business, being businessman, he can be also preacher, good preacher. And by setting up good family, a life ideal motto to see, people can see and learn from. That is one of the good way. Like that, Maharaj will have more.
Yeah, there is a very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's third canto, 21st chapter, 31st verse, in which Prabhupada gives the standard for grihasthas. He said, grihasthas who are initiated by their sannyas spiritual master should invite devotees into their home, have discussions on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, distribute prasadam, and have kirtan.
Yes.
And if you have a house, grihastha means house, really, griha. So you have a house and you use it to invite devotees in or invite guests in and have Krishna conscious program. That's preaching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we read through this also in our class. Okay, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu.
I want to share something which I just saw a few days ago in Sweden, which I think is a practice that householders can do very conveniently as, we can say, a basis for preaching. You could call it a part of sadhana. I met one devotee who every day, together with two other householders who are in other places, meet on Skype for 15 minutes. At 6:15 every morning, they have what they call Power Bhagavatam class. 15 minutes. And there are three of them. They meet, I don't know if it's 7 days a week, but at least 5 days a week. And they discuss one verse, and each has a turn to say something, their realization. Sometimes they spend more than one day on one verse and purport. But they're finding this, you know, gives them an amazing spiritual lift for the day. And this becomes the basis to connect this with preaching. This really becomes the basis for their spirit of preaching as householders, and then they're able to affect. And then Krishna gives them ideas how to preach, and I think it's very much connected with this.
Yes, some of my disciples are also doing this kind of thing in America and in India. In India, not so much of Skype, but telephone. There is a MTNL, this is a government telephone company, which allows you to freely, it is free when you use the same company telephone all over India. Then you can hook into each other's free, without any cost. So, Gop Kishori, she is PhD candidate, she is doing PhD, and she is having so many young girls, collegian girls on telephone, and this every day they have 45 minutes class, Bhagavad Gita class, like that. And in America also, on the phone, pardon me?
108 people on the phone.
Yeah, in America, two groups I know which I go on to, and they are also doing it. Pardon me? Yes. And then another Gujarati group, Bharat Patel and this Pradiman from Washington, D.C., and many of my disciples on that also, the other one also. It's good. Wonderful idea. And I told somebody here, one of my disciples, to do the same here in Slovenia. It's very good, effective. Thank you. Any other question? Yes.
Today, one question arise, can we...
Maharaj, if you want to go, you can go.
To answer.
Pardon me?
What do you advise to women who got divorced from Grihastha Ashram?
Well, they got divorced from their material husband, then get attached to the spiritual husband called Krishna, and preach. And Prabhupada says there is no scarcity of funds or food or shelter if somebody preaches. If somebody becomes preacher, full-time preacher, I haven't seen anybody in the whole creation. This is scripture and sadhu saying in the song. Harine bhajata hajikune laja jatanati jani re. One who preaches becomes good devotee. He will be always supported. No problem with food, money, shelter, clothing, nothing. So, divorce or no divorce, preach, and everything will be provided. Yoga kshemam vahami aham tesam satati yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam nodadavi buddhi yogam tam. That is a different life. But tesam satat. Anyway, yoga kshemam vahami aham. I maintain them, Krishna says. I provide them. So become preacher, book distributor, or any preaching is topmost profession of living entity. It's not that we want to distribute books or preach because we want our belly to be full or we want to be supported or this or that. No. Nirapeksha munim santam nirvairam samadarsina. Nirapeksha. We don't have to expect anything. Just preach. Just preach and preach. Everything will come from that. Everything. So that's my suggestion for single grihasthas who are divorced. You already gone through. Now no more. You have your shortcomings and you had shortcomings of your partners. And both shortcomings did not work. Now you are going to carry out your shortcoming without changing to another matchmaking, and then same thing will happen there. And because your shortcomings you are not improved, so then third matchmaking and same thing will happen. So unless you change, you cannot go to the next marriage. Because the utensils together can give a noise. So it has to be drawback on both partners, not one or another. Everybody try to blame other party more than themselves. But it is not so. Both has to have some shortcomings. So now, change to become good grihastha and become grihastha, or best thing is to go and preach. Any other question? Is that okay? Any other question? Time. Thank you. So, ring, bell is ringing. Time for prasadam. Grihastha couple ki? Grihastha ashram ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Srila Gaur Nitai ki? Aap sab ki? Gaur Premanandi.